Welcome to the Chair Yoga Podcast with me, Maria Jones. Knowledge and inspiration for teaching and practicing chair-based yoga.
The Chair Yoga Podcast is sponsored by the Chair Yoga Handbook, the only book you'll ever need to teach chair yoga. Get your copy on Amazon now.
Hi everyone, and welcome to another episode of the Chair Yoga Podcast. In today's episode, we'll speak to Amy Zellmer about traumatic brain injury. Amy Zellmer is an award-winning author, keynote speaker, and editor-in-chief in Minnesota Yoga and Life magazine. She's a traumatic brain injury survivor after a fall on the ice in 2014. Amy has a passion to spread the message that yoga is for everybody, regardless of size or ability, and is on a mission to raise awareness about the devastating consequences of TBI, traumatic brain injury. She has completed her 200-hour TT and is in the process of completing a 300-hour TT. She is a certified trauma-informed yoga teacher, love your brain yoga teacher, chair yoga teacher, yoga for all. And Amy is also a Reiki master and crystal energy healer. In her spare time, so while I was reading this, I was thinking, spare time? It's not possible. But in her spare time, Amy enjoys road tripping across the country, visiting national parks, watching reruns of Criminal Minds and Breaking Bad and all things glittery and sparkly. So yes, it's amazing to have Amy here. She is a very talented, wonderful lady. Hello, Amy. Welcome to the Chair Yoga Podcast. Really nice to see you.
Hi. Sorry, I was having trouble getting on.
Don't mind waiting. And this online world is fantastic. We're in the comfort of our own home.
Yep, I love it. And we're in two different countries and we're talking. So that's amazing.
And it's quite amazing to think that we're only 6 hours apart. You're Central America, aren't you?
Yes.
Yeah. So it's Central US. So you're like 6 hours away. So it's amazing to come so close. It's nice.
Yeah. Yeah.
So I really like that you accepted the invitation to come on the Share Yoga Podcast because you're doing amazing work through the Minnesota Yoga and Life magazine. And also, I think you have your own magazine, don't you?
Yes. Yeah. I also have the Brain Health magazine. Correct.
So tell us a little bit more about you, about what brought you into the space of practicing and teaching yoga, but also maybe about your journey of traumatic brain injury so far.
Yeah, super brief background was I was a professional photographer for about a little over 20 years. And then in 2014, I slipped on the driveway. It was black ice. And I had my little Yorkie in my arm. And so we think I kind of really grabbed onto her and I didn't break my fall and I landed full force on the back of my head. So I suffered a traumatic brain injury. And that kind of sent my life in a whole new direction that I had no idea existed. I had been doing yoga since college, right? And so I intuitively knew I needed to turn to yoga. But in addition to my brain injury, I also dislocated my sternum, tore a bunch of muscles in my neck and shoulders, had major whiplash. So like I struggled. I couldn't even get my arms like to cactus arms, right? So I was really struggling. So I asked one of my yoga teachers to help me come up with a couple things I could do. So we came up with 5 poses I could do, which were like eagle arms to relieve the neck tension, cat cow to really help that rib cage come back into position.
Movement.
Yeah, exactly. Movement. We did a lot of breath work because I couldn't get my breath down to my diaphragm. It was blocked by the sternum. I did seated twists and I can't remember the other one. It might have just been like child's pose was the 5th one. But I did those every single day and I continued to do them. And I started noticing my mobility improving and my flexibility and my balance was getting better because I had a lot of balance and dizzy issues from the brain injury. So that's when I had this moment of understanding that yoga can heal us. Up until that point, yoga was just more of an exercise or a way to just calm myself. But it was through that experience that I began to understand yoga has incredible healing powers.
Yeah, absolutely. When somebody becomes suddenly unwell or their condition worsens, there is a change, especially if it requires a certain life change with that thought of why me?
I had a lot of that as well. Yeah, I can relate.
Exactly, because it was something sudden that happened that changed a lot that you had in your life already. And it can feel really unfair that this is happening. So in your practice and in this journey of traumatic brain injury, what approaches in your practice have been helpful in terms of attitude, maybe, or shall we say repetition? I don't know. You get the idea of approaches rather than practices. What has been helpful in improving and feeling better through the practice of yoga?
Yeah, so I mentioned how I couldn't breathe. Like I couldn't get my breath beyond the chest. So breath work really became important to me. Even now, 8 years later, I still sometimes have trouble getting that deep breath. So I try to really work on the breath work. And when you're working on the breath work, it's almost impossible to come into a meditative state as well. And I think, like you had said, just this, you became closer to your spirituality and just using it as a way to cope with everything that had gone on and everything that had happened, I think was really transformative for me, especially like in my yoga life and just seeing how yoga can help us in so many ways, not just physically, right? But mentally. And I think that was really a huge part of my recovery was being able to keep, because I had those like, why me moments and this really sucks moments. But then yoga helped me see, okay, this happened for a reason. We're going to get through it. Everything will be fine.
Yeah, I think so too. A lot of people ask if I think that it is unfair for somebody to get sick as such in any way or to become unwell in any way. And I always think, no, you normally do not wish any of the stuff that is happening to you to anyone else. And there isn't, without trying to say that it is a good thing, but there isn't anyone better dealing with that than yourself. That's what yoga has done for me. It has made me understand how to deal with adversity, whatever that might be, rather than think it's the end of the world. And that has been really helpful. You're completely right about that. Any tips that our yoga teachers in the audience can utilize in their classes? If someone with traumatic brain injury comes into their classes, what would they be?
Yeah, every brain injury is so different. However, a lot of people will have a combination of some symptoms. And so they might have dizziness. They might not like be able to bend to the side to get into a triangle pose without feeling dizzy. They might have a lot of balance issues, which can be really challenging. And they tend to rear their face when you're doing yoga because you're forced to balance in certain poses. They might have dysautonomic issues. So what does that mean? They might have POTS where you go from seated to standing and your heart rate drops, causing you to possibly faint or feel faint. Or it could be the opposite where your heart rate like just goes really fast. That's the problem I have. My heart rate likes to beat really fast. I can't go supine. When I'm completely supine, my heart rate goes racing. So I have to prop myself on a bolster and a block when I'm supine. I do a lot of work with brain injury students in my yoga classes, and we use the chair all the time. The chair is like the best prop in the world because you can stay seated if you have to. Some people might also have mobility issues, like maybe they really can't walk or they have neuropathy in their feet, and there's so many different scenarios that could be going on. So they can stay seated if they want, and I show everything both ways. We use the chair like instead of inversions, so down dog, instead of getting onto the floor on hands and knees, we use the chair. So we're not getting into an actual inversion. Some people can't get to the floor. So using the chair instead of hands and knees. It's such an incredible prop to bring inclusivity and accessibility into your class, especially if you are working like with the brain injury population, or I'm sure there's other populations like people with MS or people with Parkinson's. There's other neurological conditions that could benefit from it as well.
I think it does, and those that are having issues kneeling, I can find it very
Yeah.
handy, especially those kneeling. But what I find the most helpful is you really do not want your students to feel worse after the yoga class.
Yes,
And
exactly.
if you go into a traditional, and I have been into those classes, maybe it was just before my lupus was about to flare and for me to feel unwell. So going into a downward dog placed undue pressure on the shoulders.
Yeah.
And anyone chronically ill will know that washing your hair is a big task. You avoid doing it as much as possible because it tires you out. That's what it feels like to be in downward dog. Although people say it's a
Yes.
calming pose, you're like, no, give me
No.
calm pose. No,
It
thank
is
you.
not a resting pose. Let's just like kick that myth out of here. It
Yeah.
is not a resting pose. It's a very active pose.
It is an active pose. You have to press your hands down. You have to shift your weight back. Your hamstrings have to be relatively flexible. If you're on your toes, fair enough. That's fair. With your heels lifted and all those
Yeah.
things, yeah, okay, there are benefits to it. But honestly, it's like, so that's just an example. So that of me feeling worse at the end of the class. And I wish at that point in time, no, I knew about it. And I never want my students to feel like that. And you can see it in their face. It's almost like the
Yeah.
blood drains from their face and they're just, anyway. But yes, that's why I like what you just said. I was going to ask you about the role of the chair, of course, in your classes, but you answered that question. It played the role of support and modifying poses in order for people to practice with everybody else and for the
Yeah.
class to be inclusive. So I really like that. And yeah, I can relate to the heart rate difference every now and then. This can be an issue for people as well. For you, more often.
Yeah.
So I nervous laugh, sorry about that. But yes, that's what I love about what you just said, this inclusion and the different ways that you have managed to include your students in your classes by just simply utilizing the chair. And I
Yeah.
see you practicing a lot on the chair yourself. Has the chair helped you in your recovery when you were or through this journey of traumatic brain injury?
So early on, I wish I'd have known about chair yoga. 8 years ago, when I had my injury, I didn't know it was a thing. And then in, I think it was 2020, when I did my teacher training, I did it during the pandemic. And then I took Yoga for All training. And that's when I first kind of got introduced to the chair. And I was like, oh, we're on to something here. And then I really just went all in with the chair because I'm like, this is amazing. It's amazing for me. And now I have this way of, because brain injury people are terrified of yoga. They absolutely believe that they cannot do it. And I get it, right? Because what do we see on social media? We see these great big bendy poses and we see these intense back bends and down dog. And so now I've been able to show them with a chair, like, look, you can stay seated, or look, we can do down dog at the chair. We're not going to do these crazy poses with you guys. You can't handle it. And they really appreciate the chair. And almost everyone in my class does not do down dog at the floor. We'll do sun salutations with the chair. Most of them will stand, a few stay in the chair, but that's the beauty of it. You can be doing it either way. And the people who are standing at least feel like they have some more agency over their body, right? Like they feel like they're still doing yoga, but they don't have to worry about getting into inversions or falling over.
Yeah, there is a difference. I know that for other people, their brain catches up and it normalizes. I was about to say there is a difference in blood pressure when you're going from maybe supine to standing, and when you're standing to forward bending and then back up, etc.
So that difference in blood pressure from doing all those things is regulated by the body and the brain, mostly the brain. So if you have traumatic brain injury and that is not correctly regulated, it's unlikely that those people will enjoy a vinyasa that involves you going down like that.
Another thing I want to mention too is hot yoga. A lot of TBI people can't tolerate hot yoga because our temperature regulation is part of that whole autonomic system. So our temperature regulation is challenged. And so when you're in a hot yoga studio, and it's not everybody, but there's definitely a population that have that temperature regulation control. And so knowing that hot yoga might not be the right place for somebody after a brain injury.
It makes perfect sense because my students with MS in the summer, they just disappear into the corners of their homes. They don't even like movement that much at the best of times. So forget about added heat on that. I know that you probably live in a hotter place than Scotland, where I am.
It might be. In the summer.
In the summer, exactly. In the summer. Definitely in the summer. Here, what is it now? I was about to say, I think it's about 17 degrees. And I'm baking already. I'm with my sleeveless. Yeah, I was just thinking that those tips are very helpful for even those who are teaching students with Parkinson's, MS. Yeah. Of course, traumatic brain injury, as we said, to think that the brain regulates so many other functions in our body, and we need to appreciate that and accommodate it in our classes. So tell our audience where they can find you, Amy. Of course, Minnesota Yoga and Life magazine, but where else?
Yes, you can find me at mnyogalife.com or at creatingwellnessfromwithin.com is my website. And on Instagram, you can find Yoga Life Meg or Amy Zellmer.
It's been wonderful to speak to you. What is your takeaway from our conversation today?
Oh, you just don't be afraid of the chair. I think some of the more, what do I want to say, standard sized bodied, able-bodied individuals are like, ugh, the chair's silly. But don't be afraid of the chair. It's an incredible tool. And it's not just for old people. People think chair yoga is just for seniors. And it's not. And think of someone maybe coming off an ankle or a knee injury or surgery. Maybe they can't have weight bearing for 8 weeks. Put them in a chair. They can still do yoga.
The Chair Yoga Podcast is sponsored by the Chair Yoga Handbook, the only book you'll ever need to teach chair yoga. Get your copy on Amazon now.